Well, today, like we talked about already, is Father's Day. And whenever we come upon one of those special days, whether it's Father's Day, Mother's Day, whatever special days we hit from time to time, there's always this question in the back of my head of, do we continue in whatever, you know, series we're in or topics that we're on, or do we stop and have maybe a special Father's Day message or Mother's Day message or whatever? And so as I prayed about it today, we're not doing a specific Father's Day message, but I thought it was interesting where we came to, or where we're coming to in our series, because we're going to be talking about a very special father figure that is found in the Bible. If you've been with us, you know that we've been in a long-running series titled The Bible, A True Story. And this series, it's been taking us on this journey through the Bible, as we've been discovering who God is and who He desires us to be. And we started 131 messages ago in Genesis. And over the last few weeks, we found ourselves in the book of Hebrews, and more specifically, Hebrews chapter 11. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn them to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you aren't familiar with Hebrews 11, it's often referred to as the Hall of Faith, kind of like the Hall of Fame of the Old Testament, right? As the author of this book reminds us of many of the men and women throughout the Old Testament that are known for their faith. And as we entered this chapter here in Hebrews, I felt like the Lord was leading me to do a series within a series titled Faith Is dot dot dot. And it's important that we get the dot dot dot, right? Because as we look at these amazing men and women of faith, we realize that faith can play out in many different ways. It can look differently. That there are many different aspects of what faith looks like in each of our lives. And we see that pretty clearly as we read through the list of men and women talked about here in Hebrews chapter 11. And so we've been looking at this list of men and women who were known by their faith and really looking at what faith is. And if you remember 3 weeks ago, we kicked things off as we looked at Abel and Enoch. And we talked about the fact that faith is living a life that's pleasing to God. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at Noah and talked about two more things of faith that we discovered through Noah, and that is faith is believing even when we can't see it, and that faith is also then putting that belief into action. And then last week, if you were here, we looked at Sarah, Abraham's wife, and talked about the fact that faith is having hope when things seem hopeless. And today, as I mentioned, we're going to look at a popular father figure, as we're going to look at Father Abraham, who had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I know I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right? Or left? Wait, turn around. Sit down. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy, and some of you are realizing that I'm actually quoting the song from Sunday school, Father Abraham, right? Father Abraham, right? You remember that song? Have many sons. It's so funny. You know, when I was a little kid, hey, what song do we want to sing today? Father Abraham, right? You know, all excited. You love Father Abraham. And then I used to help teach Sunday school with my mom as a middle schooler. And it's like, what song? Father Abraham. No, we're not singing that song again. I'm sorry. I'm just done with that song, right? You know, it just goes on and on, and it's funny how it changes. The reason we used to sing the song Father Abraham, though, and why it was called Father Abraham, is because Abraham was known as the father of all nations, right? God told Abraham in Genesis 22 that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, right? Or the sand on the seashore. That's a lot, right? You ever been out here to Lincoln City and you pick up some sand? I mean, think about that. The sand of the seashore, the stars. You look up, you know, on a clear night. That's a lot of people. That's amazing. And God blessed Abraham in this way because he was considered to be a man of great faith. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to read Hebrews 11:8-10 to start with, and look at what we can learn about faith from Abraham, the man of faith himself. And so Hebrews 11:8-10 starts off by saying this: "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Now let me explain this scripture a little bit for those of you that may not know the background of Abraham here. In Genesis 12, back in Genesis, God tells Abraham to pack up everything, to leave his country, his family, his friends, everything behind. And all Abraham knew when God told him to do this is that God would lead him to where he wanted him to go. So think about that for a moment. God was asking him to leave everything he knew, everything that was familiar to him, everything that was comfortable, right? He said, "I want you to leave it all behind." And he had no idea where he was going. It wasn't like, "Hey, leave this because look at this beautiful castle over here I have for you." Right? It wasn't like he knew where he was going. He knew what he was going to get. It was just, "Nope, all this stuff that you're comfortable with, your family, everything, leave it behind and follow me. Even though you have no idea what the future out there holds for you." And I'm sure this request of Abraham made no sense, right? Why, God? Why would you tell me to leave? It probably didn't make any sense to him. But God said, "Go," and what did Abraham do? He went, right? Now, to do something like this had to take great faith, and I think it demonstrates for all of us another aspect of faith, which is this: faith is obeying God, even when it doesn't make sense. And if we really want to get technical here, we could actually say faith is obeying God, period. Right? Period. But for the sake of what we're walking through here, it's obeying God when it doesn't make sense. Abraham here shows us a perfect example of faith. And a perfect example of someone who obeyed God, period. Even when it didn't make sense. And he did it again and again. He continued to do it. If you're in Hebrews 11 with me, you can jump now to verse 17. We started with verses 8 through 10. But you can jump to verse 17. In verses 8 through 10, we saw him pack up and leave everything with no idea of where God was leading him. But now in verses 17 through 19, we see something that makes even less sense for Abraham. And so in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, it says this: "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned,' Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death." And so, if you were here last week, this is the miracle son that God gave to Sarah, his wife that was barren, who was old and beyond her childbearing years. That this was the offspring that was going to make him the father of all nations. And God asked Abraham to go and to sacrifice his son on an altar. It doesn't make sense. It sounds crazy, right? We'd be going like, wait, that's not God. That's got to be Satan. That's got to be the devil, right? It doesn't make sense. But again, Abraham hears the voice of the Lord, and Abraham knows the voice of the Lord, right? Because we know sometimes when God's asking us to do something, we want to say, Satan, get behind me. But we know it's not Satan. We know God is asking us to do something beyond our strength, beyond our abilities. And Abraham knows the voice of the Lord. And again, Abraham hears the voice of the Lord. And what does he do? He obeys. Yes, Lord. Whatever you desire. He takes Isaac up onto Mount Moriah, where he ties him down on the altar. I can't even imagine thinking about this, right? With your own son. And just seconds away from going through with it, doing what God told him to do, God says, stop, okay, you can stop. But again, Abraham demonstrates for us that faith is obeying God even when it doesn't make sense. It's obeying God, period. Now, when we look at this story and what God asked Abraham to do, it's crazy, right? It doesn't make sense to any of us. If you've read through this time and time again, you know, I didn't think of it quite as much when I was not a father. But you read through it as a father and it's like, wait, what? You guys heard last week a little bit of the story. I think it was last week or the week before. My wife and I, we tried for years to have kids. And finally, our son Toby, right? I don't think so. Come on, God, you promised him to me. You gave me the name Toby, right? I would be struggling with this. But Abraham says he got up the next morning and they left. He was obedient to the Lord. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. Why would God ask him to do something like this? Why would God ask something so extreme of Abraham? But as we process this idea of faith and being obedient when God asks us to do things that don't make sense, I think there are two main things we need to take into consideration. The first is this. Sometimes our obedience is more about our love for God than what it is He's asking us to do. Let me read that one more time and let that sentence sink in, okay? Sometimes our obedience is more about our love for God than what it is He's actually asking us to do. Because we focus on what we're being asked to do, when in reality it's really just about, do we love the Lord? Did God ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac because he wanted Isaac dead? Right? No. God loved Isaac and he had a plan for Isaac's life in the same way he had a plan for Abraham. But the reason he asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac was because he wanted to see if Abraham truly loved him, God, most, right? If God was number one in Abraham's life. He wanted Abraham to prove, because we can say it, right? Oh yes, I love you, God. You're number one in my life. Many of us say that. But he wanted Abraham to prove that he loved God more than anything. Because God wants to be number one in all of our lives. Right? Isn't that the commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And anything we put before God becomes our God, becomes our idol. He wants to be number one in all of our lives. He wants us to love Him above anything else. And I know this is difficult for us to hear as people in this earth, on this world. But He wants us to love Him more than our spouse, more than our kids, more than anything. God wants to be first in our life. So often we fail to walk in obedience because whatever it is that God is asking us to give up, has become more important to us than God. We start off, God, I'll do anything for you. I'll serve you, I'll, whatever you ask, right? But then those things in life that become more important to us than God. And so we decide to hold on to whatever that is instead of being obedient and giving it to the Lord. We have to be willing to walk in obedience to God, even if it means giving up something that we love. Because God has to be our priority. And it's hard for us to hear that, but God created us and He loves us. And He created us for that connection and that relationship. And He doesn't want anything to come between Him and us. We have to be willing to walk in obedience and make God the priority. If we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, then God should be number one in our lives. Now, let me just say this. It doesn't happen immediately. When we give our life to Jesus, there is a lot of work that has to happen. But that's what we should be striving for. We should be striving to make God number one in our lives. When we allow other things to take priority, we begin to walk in disobedience. How much do we love God, right? Do we love Him enough to give up everything else? If He said, drop everything today and follow me, right? Would we do that? I've referenced the rich young ruler at many different times throughout the years here at this church. And I talk about him a lot because he's a great example of someone who didn't have faith like Abraham, right? Who didn't love God over other things. Some of you may remember this story from Matthew 19, where this rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God, Jesus? I want to follow you. What must I do to inherit the kingdom? And you know, at first Jesus talks about the commandments. Well, you know, follow the commands. Oh, I've done all of those, right? That's what the young ruler, I've done all those. I follow those commands. And then Jesus says, okay, well, one more thing you need to do. Go sell all that you have. Give the money to the poor and then come and follow me. And if you don't know the story, it's sad. The story basically ends saying that this man went away sad. Why? Because he had too much wealth. In other words, he loved his money more than he loved the Lord. He couldn't give up his money to follow Jesus. Nope, I can't give this up. I love it too much. And the question we have to ask ourselves, is that true about us? Do we love other things more than God? Is God saying, I want you to follow me. I want you to do this. And are we saying, oh, I want to follow you, God, but I love this too much. He loved his money more than he loved the Lord. Do we love God enough to walk in obedience and do whatever he asks us to do, even if it doesn't make sense to us or to our world? To have this kind of faith, it's not easy, but it's what God desires of us. And I know it's not easy, and I can speak from my own experience, and I don't share these stories with you to say I'm something better, but as your pastor and as a leader, I'm striving to follow Jesus and to seek Him. And I know most of you know this story, but I know we always have new people here, new people listening, and I just felt like God wanted me to share it again. Many of you know I felt called to ministry in high school. And I was totally fine with that call. I mean, I wanted to be an architect and maybe hope to be a pilot on the side or things like that. I had some thoughts in my mind. But in high school, God called me to be, or to ministry. That's where He was calling me, to ministry. And I wanted to be a youth pastor. And I loved the idea of serving youth. As a matter of fact, that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to love youth and help them come to know Jesus. I didn't get into ministry to be a senior pastor. I know that that's the end goal for many people who enter ministry, right? They enter ministry and youth ministry is just a stepping stool to where they want to go. Not for me. All I wanted to do was love youth. I wanted to be a youth pastor until I was old and gray, until I couldn't hang with them anymore. I had a mentor who was, he's like 16, 17, 18 years older than me. I can't remember what it is. But at the time, he was getting old. 65 when he retired as a youth pastor. And the only reason was because the church had bylaws that pastors had to retire at 65. Otherwise, he'd be like 67, 68 today, still loving youth. That's what I wanted. That was my desire. And that's what I had been doing for 15 years. And for those of you that may not know, I spent the last 10 of those years before I moved to Dallas, youth pastoring in Newburgh at Newburgh Four Square Church. And I can tell you, I had an amazing youth group. It was growing. We were getting ready to split to have high school and middle school, two different youth groups. It was awesome. It paid well as a youth pastor. Now, again, it's not like any church job pays that well, right? I mean, but as a youth pastor, I knew what my youth pastor friends were getting, and I was like, I'm not going to tell them because I'm getting paid pretty good for a youth pastor salary, right? So life was good. We had a great house, right? I was living the dream to be a youth pastor for life and experiencing the blessings of the Lord. And then the Lord had to come at a conference say, hey, Darren, you willing to give up your dream to follow what I have for you? And let me tell you, it has been the most difficult thing I had ever done in my life, right? But I can tell you today especially that I wouldn't change it for the world. Because there is something amazing that happens when we choose to walk in obedience, when we choose to put God's will first. When we leave everything behind to follow Him. When we come up against decisions that challenge us to be obedient, we have to realize it's more about our love for God than it is about what He's asking us to do. A lot of times God's just saying, do you love me enough to follow my will for your life? But when we do what He's asked us to do, when we learn to walk in obedience, I can guarantee you this, His blessing will always follow. His blessing will always follow. I never thought I could love being a senior pastor, right? I had said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me. You know I love youth, but I'm willing to obey you, right? But I figured I would obey God and I would hate doing what I did, right? I figured adults are boring. Why would I enjoy doing adult ministry? But I wouldn't change it for the world. I realize adults aren't boring. Most of them aren't. I love what I do, right? There's something amazing that happens when we choose to walk in obedience, when we choose to put God's will before ours. And His blessing comes with that. When we do what He's asked us to do, when we learn to walk in obedience, His blessing will always follow. It's hard, it's difficult, it's challenging, but His blessing will come. I never thought I could love being a senior pastor, but I do, and it's because I'm doing what I'm called to do. And if we do what we're called to do, we'll experience the blessings that He has for us. Second thing I think we need to take into consideration when it comes to obedience that doesn't make sense is we have to remember He knows the end result, even when we don't. When He's asking us to do something, He knows if we obey Him, He knows the blessing that's going to come. He knows what's going to happen in our life that we don't know in that moment. When Abraham was told to pack up and leave to a foreign land, he had no idea what God had in store for his life. But God did, right? God knew at that time that He was leading him away to become the Father of all nations. Being obedient doesn't always make sense. That is why it's called faith. We often think that we know what's best for our lives, but the truth is we don't have a clue sometimes, right? When we do things our way, when we fail to walk in obedience, we seem to have a way of messing things up. And we end up missing out on the wonderful blessings that God has for us. And when I say blessings, I'm not talking about financial blessings. Okay, I can tell you from my experience that my move to Dallas was not a financially lucrative move, okay? Like I said, I got paid well as a youth pastor. We had a nice house and we had to leave everything and not even know if we'd have a salary and not even know what the future held. But I can tell you this, God is faithful to provide our needs, right? And that key word there being needs, and God has met our needs every step of the way. He has taken care of us. And the blessing that I get every Sunday when I look out at this congregation, I'm not going to look too closely so I don't cry again. That's one of the greatest blessings I could ever ask for. I had no idea what I was in for when I began this process of following Jesus, of planting a church, but God did. And obedience can be a tough thing when it doesn't make sense, but we have to trust that God knows more than we do. There's an old story that goes something like this. A man was sleeping at night in his cabin when suddenly his room filled with light, and Jesus appeared to him. He told the man he had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained that the man was to push against that rock with all of his might. This the man did. He was obedient, and he did it day after day. For many years, he toiled from sunup to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, just pushing it and pushing it with all of his might. Each night, the man returned to his cabin sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. The rock hadn't moved at all. After a while, the man began to get discouraged, thinking that what he was doing was useless. He began wondering why he should waste his time doing such a menial task. He was on the verge of quitting when he decided to pray and take it to the Lord. Lord, he said, I've labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to that which you have asked me to do. Yet after all this time, I have not even budged that rock by half a millimeter. What's wrong? Why am I failing? The Lord responded compassionately. My child, when I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I tell you that I expected you to move that rock. Your task was to push. And now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you have failed? But is that really true? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscular. Your back broad and brown. Your hands are tough and calloused from constant pressure, and your legs have become massive and sturdy. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have, even though you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient, and to push, and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done. Now you are ready to lead my army. Now you are ready to accomplish my will. You see, I'm guessing most of us, if we were in this man's position, we wouldn't have lasted 2 or 3 years, right? When we would have seen no results, and when we come home tired, we would have just quit, right? Or we would have done what a lot of people do. Look, I'm pushing so hard, God. We would have faked it, right? Oh, look at me, I'm pushing so hard. I'm obedient, God, look. You seeing this? Look, I'm pushing, right? That's what a lot of us do. We fake it. But the man didn't. Because he was obedient, even when it didn't make sense, he was strengthened and now prepared to do the work that God had for him. I don't know about you, but that's who I want to be. Faith is obedience, even when it doesn't make sense. God's desire is that we would be faithful to do whatever it is He asks us to do, whether it makes sense or not. His desire is that we would learn to walk in obedience, period. Faithful, 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 faithful. Faithful, 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 fruitful. Had we not continued, we wouldn't have experienced the fruit. I want to be someone who is a person who continues to walk in faith, continues to trust in the Lord, and be obedient to His calling and keep moving forward. Faith is about trusting God and His will and way for our life. It's about walking in obedience and allowing His will to be fulfilled. Not ours. Not our desires. His will to be fulfilled. Abraham made God the number one priority in his life. And he was obedient even when it didn't make sense. And because of that, he was considered to be a man of faith. And when all is said and done, I just want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your word today. I thank You for Father Abraham and the example that he was to us, Lord. Help us to follow that example. Help us to learn to be people of faith who walk in obedience, period, Lord, that we listen to You, that we obey Your commands. Your word says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. We want to be people who walk in obedience, Lord. We want to be people who live the lives that You have called us to live, because we know if we're faithful to do that, though we may not see it, and that's the hard part for us, that's the struggle, Lord, we may not see it, if You're calling us to it, Lord, it's important. And You're going to do something amazing in and through us. And so may we be people who are faithful to walk in obedience, even when it doesn't make sense, to keep being faithful, 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 so we can see the fruit and the blessing that You want to bring through our faithful lives, Lord. We thank You for this word. We pray Your hand upon each of us, Lord. Allow us to receive what You want to speak to each of us today. What is it that You're speaking to all of us right now? How can we be impacted and changed because of what You're speaking into our heart? What are the things that we need to do differently, Lord? How can we grow in You to be the faithful men and women that You called us to be? Speak these things into our hearts, into our lives, Lord. We give it to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.